makes up nearly 30% of the consumer price index, responds to home prices with a lag. The drop in the government's home price inflation measure during the past 2 years coincides with a jump in price of homes, as reported by the Case-Shiller Index. That puts 2 years' worth of higher inflation into the pipeline. There is a close correlation between the Case-Shiller Index of U.S. home prices and the Consumer Price Index CPI housing component, but with a lag of 12 to 24 months. In plain English, today's home price bubble would work its way into the reported Consumer Price Index CPI numbers in 2022 and 2023. Other components of the Consumer Price Index are poised for a jump. The reported 9.8% jump in U.S. retail sales from March to April reflected price increases more than real improvement in retail volume. The single largest gain in retail sales occurred in motor vehicles and motor parts. The Manheim Index of Used Vehicle Prices registers a 30% jump year-on-year as of February 2021, far above the government's 9% estimate. Part of the difference is due to the fact that Manheim Index takes into account auctions of used vehicles at the wholesale level, which means that the 30% price jump is still trickling down to the retail level. U.S. auto production fell by about 25% during the first quarter of this year, from a December 2020 annual rate of 12 million vehicles to about 9 million vehicles in March, in part due to a global shortage of semiconductors. Auto sales rose to a 13.6 million annual rate. Imports and inventory made up the difference, and auto inventories fell to just 2 months' supply, one of the lowest levels in history, and the lowest since the 2009 recession. The constriction of auto production due to the chip shortage is global, limiting the availability of imports. The world's largest chip fabricator, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, warned recently that ongoing trade tensions or protectionist measures could result in increased prices for or even unavailability of key equipment for semiconductor production. The Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company echoed an earlier statement by China's Huawei Technologies, which blamed the global chip shortage on U.S. sanctions. The jump in sales, spurred by the Biden administration's $1.9 trillion fiscal stimulus, clashes with falling production and shrinking inventories. That in turn squeezes the used vehicle market, pushing the year-on-year price increase. Total U.S. machinery orders have fallen by about a third since the 2007 peak after inflation, reflecting systematic underinvestment in U.S. production capacity.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
please log on to our website, www.carstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, I have my friend and sister in faith, Sister Razia Shamani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, my beloved friend.
How do you do?
Sister, alhamdulillah, I'm doing great.
Thank you so very much for being with us
today.
Thank
you for having me here.
We're talking about the necessary steps a human being, an individual, has to take pre-pregnancy, which I think all starts with correcting their worldview.
Exactly.
And their opinion toward life and their purpose and objective on this earth.
There's a lot of depression because of the fast pace of life. Everything has to be going so fast and you're always behind your schedule. And this gives you a lot of pressure. It puts you under a lot of pressure and anxiety.
True.
And you lose your peace of mind, right? I'm going to share with you 5 principles which would help you have a very prosperous and healthy pregnancy process. Can you guess the first one?
Sleep a lot.
Sleep a lot. Why?
Because why not? Because you're already doing such hard work creating a human being in your belly. Just take a day off. Go to bed.
Okay. The first one is timely marriages.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. That was my second guess.
Yeah. So it's been happening a lot that when girls get married, they're like in their 30s, that they just get married. And then they're like 34, 35, 36 that they have the first child, and about 40 when they have the second child.
What if they only want one child?
Usually they, you know, some don't want just one child. And so these people, when they do get pregnant, they, you know, after the age of 30, the risk of a lot of abnormalities becomes higher after the age of 30. And so, especially after the age of 35. And so even if you have a good pregnancy, it will become a longer time for your body to get to adjust itself to the situation of pregnancy. And after that, after childbirth, to get back on the track of, you know, a normal pregnantless system of your body, right? It's something, this is a fact. And why we're saying that, oh my God, childbearing has become so difficult, there are so many morning sicknesses, a lot of these are because of the fact that people are getting married at a late age. I'm not talking about its exceptions, but the less your body, the younger your body, the fresher your body, the fresher the organs of your body, the easier it is for your body to cope with the new situations like pregnancy and to, after pregnancy, to, you know,
recover.
To recover, exactly. Right. it will also help a lot in the process of childbirth. So in during the pregnancy and childbirth, this is one of the factors, the first principle. The second principle is, as you said, sleeping. Mm. Obviously, by sleeping, I mean something that would enhance the peace of mind in a pregnant woman's life.
Mm.
So peace of mind and having a sense of security in life. As you said, some couples, when they feel that their spousal relationship is problematic,
yeah.
The elders would recommend, give you the anti-prescription is that, why don't you have children? Actually, the reason you guys are having a lot of problems and arguments in life is because you don't have any children. And, you know,
when you have a child, you're going to be so
busy.
You wouldn't have time to pick on these mundane, simple, stupid little things.
Exactly. But this is the exact opposite, mm-hmm. because when the child is born, a world of new events are happening in a couple's life, in a parent's life. And so in addition to your original spousal problems, you will have a load of other problems added. So multiplied by two, more stress, more tension, more problems, more aggression, more violence.
Exactly.
And
it's like a couple who couldn't deal with their smaller problems. How can they deal with such a big problem like raising a child? Or exactly. the problems that come with raising a child, not that raising a child is a problem.
Exactly. So if you want to go through a very healthy and happy and safe pregnancy, you should have your peace of mind. So being too busy with your work, having a lot of stress in your life because, you know, if it's related with your friends, with your family, with your work, with your studies, it has to be eliminated. Number three, selection of nutrients.
Mm, absolutely, food. Absolutely, yes, yes.
And refinement of your physical body, of the poisons that have been toxics that have been added up in your blood and in your muscles. You have to get rid of it. We're going to talk about how this is possible through special food and no medication. Fourth, in the a good pregnancy, even if you are going to embark on the process of pregnancy, you should have this set of mindset that we just talked about, in which you will have to be happy. You will start the process. It might happen for you and it might not, right?
All right.
So you might really strive hard to become pregnant, but you will not become pregnant.
Yeah.
And no matter how much money you spend or who, you know, the different gynecologists or surgeons or doctors or specialists you refer, you know, there is going to be no result. Actually, I used to go to a gynecologist that she's like one of the best gynecologists of town, but God hasn't given her them child. And in fact, this is
so ironic.
This is like one of the realities of life that you read in the Quran, "Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum."
Yep.
And "Asa an
tuhibbu shay'an wa sharrun lakum."
Wa huwa sharrun lakum.
Often you hate something and it's good for you. Often you love something and it's bad for you. You want to
exactly.
have kids, but God wants something else.
Do you remember we said that some things are tests from God?
Yep.
And that the feeling of contentment, the feeling of submission, to accept, not to be in a state of denial. A couple of days ago, we had guests in our house. They were family from another city, and my parents had visited them, and they came here to take their 6-year-old son to a neurologist here in Qom, and I was like, I was so, because I didn't know what the story was, and when I asked my parents, they said that when we went to their house, we realized that the child is not acting normal.
Mm.
And when we said to the parents that, is your child normal? Is everything fine? They said, yeah, everything is fine. Yeah. They were in a state of denial.
Oh, my goodness.
All these years. You know, they had been to psychologists and psychiatrists, and they had prescribed some medicine. They have said that your son has ADHD. He's just hyperactive.
Right.
And then they said, yeah, he's normal, and it's just that the fact that they say he's hyperactive. But then the story was, you know, much beyond that. And what I'm trying to say is that we have to submit. And submitting means that you have to accept. You have to go beyond the phase of denial. And then once you accept the problem, you will try to find solutions for it, right? So this is the fourth principle, that be happy with the satisfaction of God. Do your best, but then leave everything to the trust of God. And number five, a step further, is that whatever happens for you, I know that it's easier said than done, is that consider everything as beautiful. Marayto illa jamila. To be Zainab-like. Which is really, really, really difficult.
It really is.
Lately, especially throughout the coronavirus, there's been this trend among many women I've seen, especially women, that they are they're practicing, especially in social media, a lot of people are doing it. And also among my own relatives, I have my cousins my own age who... they've had like a lot of ups and downs in their life in terms of like economical issues. And lately when I was talking to them, and they would say, yeah, things are not good. Our economical situations are really terrible.
Like financially, they're struggling?
Yeah, okay. They're struggling. And, you know, because of the air pollution, so many things, there are a lot of diseases. And then the corona was added. And then when you would talk to them, they would give you like a world of negative energy. I was like, oh, my God, I have to talk to them again. But then recently... they've been practicing to focus on the positive things in their life. All these, there's nothing new happening in their life, but they are beginning to shift their attention. Instead of pointing at what I don't have, at this empty half of my cup, they are focusing on the full half of the cup, right? So when this is how the practice goes. This would help a lot to all women, whether pregnant, whether wanting to become pregnant, whether not pregnant, whether they would hate to become pregnant, all of them. So early in the morning when they wake up, they choose a very nice book or a notebook, or, you know, they can even do it in their mobiles. They write down 10 blessings that they have been given the previous day, right? So they practice it for 21 days.
Okay.
And then as the days go by, they begin to realize that the blessings and all the na'amat and beautiful bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted them, it is so much beyond counting. And it overrides all the things that they don't have in life. And there's a beautiful verse in the Quran, La in shakartum la azidannakum.
And also, لا يغير الله قومًا حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. Allah will not change a people until they change
themselves.
Exactly.
And if you are thankful,
I will increase for you.
And لئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد. And if you are
ungrateful, my punishment is severe.
Exactly. So it's the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the more you see the blessings, the more you are thankful to other people, and the more you attract themselves to you, and the better your life will become, right?
You're right, exactly. So again, it's back to that worldview, that perspective we have toward life, that faith we have basically in God, in ourselves, in humanity, in society, in the fact that no matter how bad everything could be and everything that could go wrong did go wrong, there are still so many things to be grateful for. So many blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us without us even thinking to ask for it. You know, I didn't even know that I needed this blessing. I mean, if we're going to start about our physical blessings, it would have taken humanity eons to discover the fact that life is easier with 10 fingers, you know? But Allah designed us in the most perfect form with every feature that we could possibly need in order to thrive and to flourish and to become successful and to reach Him. He facilitated us and equipped us with things that we never even knew we needed to survive. And that's just amazing.
This is the dua Arafah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Gorgeous. And to be able to instill that into our children, you know, to give them those specs through which they can see the positive in life, rather than constantly be those kids, one of those kids that are nagging and belly aching. Let's not raise annoying children, ladies and gentlemen. All right, that's all the time we have for today's episode. Until another segment of Muslim Lady, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is some food for thought in this blessed month of Ramadan for stimulating our minds. Once Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, heard a woman who was fasting swear at a maidservant. He ordered food to be brought and told her to eat. She said, "I am fasting, O Messenger of Allah." He said, "What kind of fast is it when you swear at your servant?" Fasting is not just refraining from food and drink. Indeed, God Almighty has made the fast a restraint from all ugly conduct and evil speech, which break and invalidate the fast. How few are those who really keep their fast? And how many are those who just remain hungry?
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Museum in London has transformed its gift shop into a mini supermarket, selling artist-designed food to help an industry largely affected by the coronavirus pandemic. The Design Museum has reopened its shop after the help of 10 artists. It sells essential products with packaging designed by emerging artists. The market offers goods at the same price of normal markets, both online and at the marketplace. The initiative is led by Camille Walala, who says her project is aimed at supporting the artists reeling from the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, the project is to support artists, and I think because obviously at the moment there's no exhibition, people can't really show any of their creative work, and it's nice to have like a feedback when you're creative. It's nice to know, you know, if people like your work. I think this is a really nice platform to just bring artwork on like everyday product, and actually people are going to probably come and just buy them and probably keep them as a piece of art, like, you know, an affordable piece of art from some artists that you like. I think it's a really nice way to display art, so yeah, I think.
Walala says the project also conveys the message that creativity is as important for living as the other essentials. She says the creative supermarket will also help the museum, which has seen a drop of more than 90% in income because of the pandemic. The shop is open for just 5 days, but artists expect heavy demand. Worldwide trends show people rapidly moving toward modern vehicles now, especially electric cars. But Parisians saw a very unusual kind of EV driving around the city, similar to the one people were using over a century ago. A replica of the 1881 vehicle by French inventor Gustave Trouve was made to celebrate what is regarded as the 140th anniversary of the first viable electric car. Trouve, who is believed to have driven the world's first electric car, combined a rechargeable battery and a cycle, something very similar to a modern e-bike. The car has a motor to assist you, but you can still pedal at the same time.
So Gustave Trouve, when he combined the electric motor, a rechargeable battery and a cycle very similar to this one, that would be one of the earliest, if not the earliest, electric vehicle to be seen on the roads.
A Victorian cycle engineer built the vehicle in North Yorkshire, England. It took him some 2 months to come up with the replica with materials that closely match those used by Trouve himself. Like the original, it has an average speed of approximately 16 kilometers per hour. NASA's small helicopter has made history as it successfully completed its flight on Mars. Receiving instructions from Earth, Ingenuity managed to rise to about 3 meters, hovered for 30 seconds, and then landed on the red planet. The mission marked the first powered, controlled flight on another planet. The helicopter weighs only 1.8 kilograms, has 4 legs, and is powered by solar panels. Flying a helicopter on Mars is hard because there is not much air to push against to generate the necessary lift. A creative artist in Belgium has come up with an alternative to the face masks, a portable oasis. Alain Vercheron says the mini greenhouse allows him to connect with people while observing social distancing during the coronavirus pandemic. However, the idea is not new. It came to his mind 15 years ago, inspired by the lush oasis he encountered while working in Tunisia.
An oasis is a place of calm, tranquility, cool and well-being in the desert. Here, the fact of having an oasis containing medicinal plants means I am also protecting myself from harm coming from the outside, just like I could at an oasis in the middle of the desert.
Doesn't that look bizarre? Well, he says he has asthma and breathing with the device is easier than a face mask. The 61-year-old artist hopes his invention also raises awareness of environment protection. Pumas are solitary animals that do not usually get along well with humans. However, a Russian family has been living with an extraordinarily friendly mountain lion for 5 years. Now, Alexander and Maria Dmitriev bought little Messi from a zoo 5 years ago. The cat could barely walk then. With the tender care of the couple, he soon regained his strength. Messi's growth was stunted due to his malnutrition. Interestingly, the adorable puma has never shown any aggression toward humans. Well, looks very friendly. Messi's family has converted their home to meet his natural needs. They have also set up social media accounts for him on Instagram and YouTube, where he has millions of followers.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Malaysian farmers tap classical music and massages to grow one of the world's most expensive fruits, Japanese muskmelons. The farmers believe the method is the best way to grow Japanese muskmelons in Malaysia's hot tropical weather. They regularly rub the melons with a soft cloth or glove. That's a practice, the farmers say, enhance the melon's flavor. To stimulate their growth, classical music is played in greenhouses, and now all these efforts have paid off following constant trials. The farmers are finally selling their prized luxury fruits of labor on the market.
April is usually marked by multi-day festivities across much of Southeast Asia, including Myanmar, as they observe the Buddhist New Year. The traditional New Year in Myanmar this year began on Tuesday with five-day celebrations known as Tengon. The occasion is usually celebrated with prayers, ritual cleaning of Buddha images in temples, and public water splashing on the streets. They think water can wash their souls and all evil deeds. People also flock to temples with traditional pots containing flowers and receive blessing from monks. The typically joyous period of celebration is looking very different this year amid coronavirus and political crises in Myanmar.
A dozen lucky penguins have been returned to the wild after rehabilitating from malnutrition and anemia. The Magellanic penguins waddled back happily into the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Argentina. They were distressed, malnourished, and dehydrated when they were found by conservationists. Some of them had lost their plumage due to malnutrition, but they recovered their feathers after receiving special nutrients. There are an estimated 2 to 3 million Magellanic penguins in the world. The cute birds are named after Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan. They are mostly found around Argentina and Chile. People in Britain are marking the easing of lockdowns implemented to curb the coronavirus pandemic. Words like freedom, hope, family, reunion and relief have been projected on the walls of the UK's most iconic landmarks, as well as shops and department stores, to show people's feelings. A British company commissioned a survey to find the words that best summed up people's feeling after months of lockdown began to be lifted on Monday. Those celebrating the event say reunion is the word that can best express their feelings.
The most powerful word in there for me is reunion. We've all been apart from each other, friends, loved ones, colleagues, who are also loved ones, I suppose, in some cases, and really looking forward to getting back to my friends and family that I haven't seen for a long time, and imagine a lot of the British public are too.
The event comes as the UK has been the worst hit nation with a pandemic across Europe. The country saw a staggering number of infections and deaths for months. This prompted authorities to impose restrictions in an effort to bring the pandemic under control. Japanese Olympics organizers have unveiled the game's iconic rings on top of Mount Takara, a popular tourist spot in the west of the Japanese capital, Tokyo. The unveiling of the rings comes as athletes around the world are ramping up training some 100 days ahead of the international event. The sad side of the story, however, is that the spectators are barred this time to accompany the organizers to mark and celebrate it. This is because uncertainty still exists over how and even whether or not the games will take place. A surge of the coronavirus infections, including in Japan, is playing havoc with preparations ahead of the Olympics. Many hope mass vaccinations would help hold the event. Suppose you have run out of milk and you're not in the mood to shop for shopping. This is for you. Robots are lending a hand with grocery shopping in Singapore. A technology company has deployed two robots to a neighborhood for a trial period. Both named Camilo, the machines deliver items from nearby supermarkets and online shops to around 700 households. Designers say people tend to use robots in the pandemic era.
Especially during this pandemic period, everybody is looking at, you know, contactless, humanless, because in the robot itself, it has its own disinfection UVC light that we could do disinfection after every trip is being made by itself.
The robots are equipped with sensors and cameras, and they can carry up to 20 kilograms in their compartment. Users can track the robot on its way using a mobile application. The smart machines make 4 or 5 deliveries per day.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio in the month of Allah, the month of Ramadan.
وَلِدَ الْإِنْسَانُ
Today, Thursday, is the 9th of Ramadan, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of Ordibehesht, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of April, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Az-Zumar from the Holy Quran, verse 53.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
Say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sinning, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is the forgiving, the merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse in question provides all sinners with the hope of turning to Allah Almighty, since the main goal behind all of them is to gain men toward Him rather than hostility and vengeance. He is oft forgiving and most compassionate. Reflection on the meaning of the verse indicates that it is the most promising verse addressed to all sinners, according to a tradition narrated from the commander of the faithful Imam Ali alayhi salam. The extent of its implication is such that no verse may be found throughout the Holy Quran to be more inclusive than this one. Ask Allah for His mercy. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. These words are what Muslims are encouraged to begin all good acts with, from eating to ribbon-cutting ceremonies for projects. How many times have you said Bismillah without fully realizing the beauty of God's mercy? Allah, the most merciful of all who have mercy, understands and knows what is in our hearts even before we feel. But He has still encouraged us to ask Him for anything and everything through dua or supplication. The Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, said that dua is the essence of worship. He has also said that Allah is angry with those who do not ask Him for anything. We are in Ramadan's day of mercy. The Prophet explained in one hadith that Ramadan is a month whose beginning is mercy, whose middle is forgiveness, and whose end is freedom from the fire. This makes it a great time to ask God for His mercy.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم يا كريم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to IRB English Radio Station on today's special. You guys heard the first part of the dua of the 90-day supplication. Allahumma ij'al li fihi naseeban min rahmatika al-wasi'ah. O Allah, on this day, decide for me a share from your vast mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we stated before, I think, on the show, and you know, and the whole different supplications that are available, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful. And this is the month of mercy. Here we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon us the greatest mercy possible for us to obtain and achieve. And when we talk about mercy, rahmatullah al-wasi'ah, it doesn't only have to go back to material world alone or the hereafter, you know, aspects alone, together. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy for this life and the hereafter together, both of them, not only one of them. You also have to keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is so vast, it's so open, that we have this supplication where we state, after of course prayers, that if I am not worthy of your mercy, your mercy has the vastness of your mercy has the capability of taking me in. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy, we are asking something that we need, something that we vastly benefit from. One of the best illustrations of mercy is the fact of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. They are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And this alone needs, you know, chapters and chapters of books to understand this concept from all its aspects and context. But in summary, in a nutshell, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created creations, created lights, that with them, with their love, with following them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door of mercy, that vast mercy of his. We always state that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the vast mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example of that, and a prime example of that, is the cry is when a believer tears, a simple tear, not even the tear doesn't even reach his cheek. All it does is exits and is the size of a fly's wing. We have a saying available in Kamal al-Ziyarat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his deeds and his sins. That's the vast mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
Ramadan, the month of mercy to Muslims. Mercy is a favor from Allah which He places in the hearts of whomsoever He wills. Verily, Allah will have mercy on His servants who are merciful. Allah is the most compassionate, the most merciful. He loves the merciful and calls to mercy. He orders His servant to enjoin patience and mercy. A person may lack mercy for any number of reasons, among them an abundance of sins and disobedience. They stain their hearts so much so that they ultimately blind them until their hearts become harder than stones. Allah says of the children of Israel, "And yet after all this, your hearts hardened and become like rocks, or even harder." The Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 74. Among the things that cause a loss of mercy is arrogance with wealth and pride with riches. Ramadan and mercy. Ramadan is not here to change our schedules. It is here to change our hearts. In fact, Allah does not look at our bodies. He looks into our hearts, which are true conduits of the communication with Allah and keep our relationship strong with Him. How you feel in your salah or prayer will give you an indication of the level of your iman or faith, and how you feel during the recitation of the Quran will give you an indication of the condition of your heart. It is quite clear that those are psychological effects of fasting. There is a peace of tranquility for those who fast during the month of Ramadan. Personal hostility is at a minimum and crime rates decrease. Muslims are expected to abstain from impurities such as gossip and cursing and start focusing the heart on prayer, spirituality, and charity in order to purify the soul and mind.
Some may ask and claim that how you've done all these sins, you've lied, you've done this and you've done that, for example, yet by crying one tear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you? We state, first of all, you're not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor are you more merciful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor are you more just than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. He does have conditions and rules to reach that vast mercy of His. And of course, He places what He wants to place. He gives what He wants to give. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala views that crying for Imam Hussein alayhi salam is worthy, is even more worthy than that. So anyway, the vast mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that we should be running for in this holy month. And that is why we see in the various supplications that we always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy. Without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not deserve even to enter paradise. We do not deserve to even, you know, be in existence. It's with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we exist, that we are able to eat, that we are able to live and live our lives. And with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah ta'ala, we'll have a happy afterlife. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon us on this day and in this month His vast mercy, or His expansive mercy. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not make us exit from that mercy. That mercy that is so vast and so expansive that it could reach the greatest of sinners. But yet there are still some creations who do not reach it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not from those creations. And we are creations that are servants and worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have been given mercy in this life and the hereafter. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
That's all for this episode of today's special. Inshallah, we continue different nice topics which are directly or indirectly related to the month of Allah, the month of Ramadan. Believe you in care and protection of the Almighty.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IR.